Not only were we not paying attention, you don't even get Sully this hour unless we just goad him in. He's running the board for us. Sully's feeling better. This is Charlie Harper. I'm the editor of GeorgiaPaul.com, along with John Richards, Stefan Turkheimer, other editors joining us. A little bit of breaking news, and we're going to get into this in the next segment, but Donald Trump has turned his back on CPAC. CPAC is the conservative, sometimes make air quotes, their organization. Ronald Reagan kind of cut his teeth there and spoke to them many, many times. They still love quoting that. There's a question about how important CPAC is. Clearly, Donald Trump is now thinking it's not, skipping a speech. They pretty much shamed Rubio into committing to a time when he was still trying to figure out how to juggle multiple states that are be voting during the same time. He was going to go the whole time. He just hadn't told him a time. But anyway, Trump is not going to CPAC, and CPAC's tweet is very disappointed. Donald Trump has decided at the last minute to drop out of CPAC. His choice sends a clear message to conservatives. We're going to have that in the next segment. Right now, John Richards, our reporter. Crossover day. Bills died, yet they don't always die. Let's run through a list of things. Casinos.
Casinos ended up being dead. They tried to, they raced to get it through committee, raced to get it through the Rules Committee. And on Friday, the Speaker of the House, David Ralston, said, well, I don't think we're going to do this today, and said, I want you to go to church on Sunday and talk to your neighbors, and we'll come back on Monday and deal with it. Monday, late afternoon, the Speaker got up and basically acknowledged that they felt that there were not enough votes to get the casino gambling bill through, and that he was going to hold off until the next legislative day, which effectively killed the bill because it must cross over by day 30. And on Wednesday, he recommitted the bill to the Rules Committee. Of course, horse racing over in the Senate never got past the Rules Committee. I don't think they had the votes there, too. A lot of conservative folks down in the southern part of Georgia, and we can talk about that in the next segment as well, didn't like it. And so it appears that the Hope Scholarship bills are dead.
I haven't had a chance to talk to the folks I know that were working on the casino bill, and I talked to them for a while. What's your sense of, is this dead? This session, I believe it's dead, but
right.
Is it? Do casinos go away? Was this kind of a unique moment in time, or do they start a two-year effort to bring constitutional amendments, for the record, and this would require that, they can only be done in even-numbered years. So you can't have the constitutional amendment on the ballot next year being 2017. It would be 2018 would be the next chance we get to vote on it with it not having passed this year. So
yeah,
do you think they're in for the long haul?
I think that they may be, the lobbyists may be in it for a long haul to see what happens. You've got an election year, of course, coming up in November. I think there was some nervousness over that, and especially with the constitutional amendment, Governor Deal's constitutional amendment on the Opportunity School District. I think he was maybe a little less enthusiastic about it because he didn't want the distraction of gambling on the ballot in November.
Right, and there was also a lot of thought that it could drive Democratic turnout. That there was a lot of support for the casino bills in the Democratic community, and that if you put that on the ballot, it would also turn out. Also, I think legislators really kind of liked the attention they were getting from those lobbyists and maybe wanted to extend that out another couple years.
It might be if it's a risk if maybe some promises were made and not delivered of where the enthusiasm and support was. But as I said, I haven't been able to ask anybody about that yet. All right. What else died? MARTA bill, zombie MARTA.
Yes.
MARTA bill is dead. Long live MARTA.
That's what they're saying. The MARTA bill actually, of course, originated in the Senate with Senator Brandon Beach, received a lot of opposition from fellow senators, especially in the metro area, who were scared to death of even getting close to proposing a tax increase just before a primary. And they all didn't want it to go. And again, that bill did not make it. Although I understand there's a rumor that we are going to try to get some sort of action on MARTA in November, and that would be from the mayor of Atlanta, who is proposing a half-penny tax. They're still trying to figure out the details that would be used to fund transit in the city only, possibly also DeKalb County.
And I have heard those rumors, and I can confirm that that's generally true. And what's going to be really interesting there is the North Fulton folks that had basically said, no, we don't want this. All of a sudden, what's kind of been unique about this is everyone keeps talking about local control. Local control always means I want to control where I live, but I want to tell everyone else what they can do, and I want their money. And the unique problem with that line of thinking, I mean, again, generally local control is a conservative principle, and I support it. But when you take it to its logical conclusion as an absolute, you start realizing that if your locality isn't the one that's actually got the tax engine that's paying for it, and you keep devolving it to the people that are willing to tax themselves, get to make the decisions of what they do with that money. And so all of a sudden, if the debate changes from a North Fulton transit extension to Beltline and maybe Clifton Corridor and possibly even some streetcar expansion, I'm hoping that's not part of the plan, but if it's City of Atlanta money and City of Atlanta taxpayers want to levy the tax and that's what they choose to spend that money on, every time that's done at a smaller and smaller level, when you start looking at things like regional sales taxes, you lose the support because the smaller localities have already made the decisions of what they're going to do with the lion's share of the money, and you can't just keep then deciding to come back and tax everybody a bigger amount if the folks that are already paying, we're generating most of the tax base, have already kind of used any incremental tax that might be available the way they wish to use it. And so I go back to kind of my normal thing of the rest of the region better pay close attention because they can say no, 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 they want it on their terms. If the other side's willing to go, you know what, we can do this by ourselves, then enjoy sprawl.
I think there's going to be more interest in trying to figure out some sort of a regional transportation plan following this year in 2017. Might be the way to do it. The legislature pretty much decided they didn't want to deal with anything related to House Bill 170 or transportation this year. Next year, again, it's not an election year. I think the pressure is growing for some sort of a regional solution. As Charlie says, if you keep avoiding this for too long, you're going to get left behind on the bus or something like that.
Yeah, and the problem is we can agree all we want. All these different people can say, yeah, we do need a transit plan. We do need this and we do need that. And it all works out until you have to actually raise money for it. And so once people start talking about taxes, that's when we lose a lot of these northern perimeter folks. And until we actually have those conversations together and we say we're willing to pay for it, then it doesn't matter what we agree to.
I just don't understand why you won't tax yourself to build my transit line in Cobb County.
I would love to.
My neighbors in Cobb County don't want me to do that. What else we got on the docket?
Yeah, I got a couple other things that happened this week that I thought was interesting. Number one, on Monday, again, it was crossover day. The Senate debated Senate Bill 6. Senate Bill 6 was a basically something that would give folks who are dreamers, the children who were brought to the country, they're not citizens, special kind of driver's license. And I thought it was very interesting. Of course, you had the opposition from the Democrats to the bill, which is very understandable. But Tommy Williams, a senior member who has also announced his retirement from the legislature, spoke in opposition to Senate Bill 6 and said, there are those in this hall who don't like brown people, which I thought was pretty brave of him to get that out there. The other thing that was kind of interesting was campus carry. That came up. Of course, it had passed in the House already, had its first hearing in the Senate on Wednesday. And they spoke for about 2.5 hours, had about 50 witnesses. Some of them all appeared to be affiliated with different organizations. There's one called Outcry that was very much against campus carry. Gun Sense is another one who's against it. Of course, you got Georgia Carry for it. So it was really organizations, I guess, taking a stand, except, of course, for Hank Huckabee, who was the first witness, who got up there and said they didn't want it. They were happy with things the way they are. What do you think about campus carry, Stephan?
I mean, I think from the Democratic perspective, they're pretty uniformly against. And I think the reasoning there is that they think that putting more guns on campus is not going to make it more safe. It's going to make it less safe, accidental discharges, and just the entire environment being changed. So I think as a Democrat, I think we're all against it. But I do recognize the sort of the politics that are involved there.
And the other thing that makes this year's attempt at campus carry, because it's not a new one, perhaps more likely of making it, is the support of Governor Deal.
Yeah.
And I think from what I hear, that message is telling some of the senators that it's okay to vote in favor of it. And, of course, you got Buzz Brockway's stun gun bill, which could be considered to be maybe a minor version of campus carry, but I hear there's some worry about that because it's not regulated at all. Anybody can have it, and you might see more accidents and things that way rather than folks who had a concealed carry license.
It's not a real good idea to give 18-year-olds, especially in drunk situations, the ability to shock people. It's already their behavior is shocking enough.
I'm shocked, Stefan. 18-year-olds get drunk?
I know.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
They make terrible decisions.
Are you going to take away the knives and forks they could be sticking into outlets? I mean, come on.
I do think so.
There's plenty of ways for 18 and 19-year-olds to hurt themselves without resorting to stun guns, and stun guns can be used to protect them. But trust me, they're still got plenty of ways they could do these things. All right, we've got just a couple of seconds left in this segment, so we will tee it up. Campus carry, guns, what does it matter if we ultimately implode everything and allow someone to do gun confiscation because this national election goes badly? Maybe we'll go there. Stefan is already shaking his head going, I can't believe you went there. Yeah, we're going to go there. First, we're going to take a break, but we'll be back with more Georgia Paul Radio on 640 AM WGST.